Okay, shall we all stand together and pray? Let's seek the face of the Lord together and pray that, Lord, you speak to my heart. And I encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, let's not listen to the message with a casual heart as listeners. Let our hearts be to learn, to change, and to be the doers of the word. And let's ask God today, this morning, Lord, you speak to me and change my life so that I would practice what you speak from the teaching of your word. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace as a church, as your people, wanting to learn and apply from your word. And we pray this morning that you open the eyes of our heart to see wonderful things from your word. Understand your will as your scripture again and again encourages us. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Discern what the Lord wants from you. And we believe this is one of the most important disciplines that we have to inculcate in our Christian life. And this thing is really ruining families, friendships, churches, and even workplaces. And we pray that you please do help us to be different and make a difference in this aspect. We pray that you speak to our hearts, convict us of our sins, bring deep transformation in our hearts and minds. We thank you for this gift of Holy Scripture that you have given to us, which is a light unto our paths, which is an encouragement to us, which is a conviction to us, which really equips us for every good work. And we pray that you please do speak to us this morning. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the community of your saints. We thank you for every blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves to you, our ears and our hearts and our entire beings, and we pray that you speak to us and change us and use us for your glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Actually, I was thinking about sharing from the New Testament, mostly famous misapplied scriptures, but I was asked also at the same time, as the church is going through this painful situation and also a lesson to learn, I was asked to speak on gossip, so that this is one of the biggest sins which is ruining families, relationships, friendships, churches, workplaces, and especially I would like to speak in the context of the church, gossip, a big killer of church unity. And I would like to ask you to pay attention to this word, because this is not a simple thing that very few people follow. What I can say is, in my 22 years of Christian life, I rarely meet a Christian or rarely have met a Christian who doesn't gossip or listens to gossip. Do you understand that? In my 22 years of Christian life, and even in this church, I can say that I rarely see people in Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship who don't listen to gossips or who refrain themselves from gossiping. So what I want to say is that this is deeply entrenched in the churches, deeply entrenched in many Christians, about which we need to be very careful about. And please examine yourself. This message is not for your neighbor. Some of the people think that, you know, Brother Stephen is targeting me. I say that's a very holy consciousness that you have. I want to target every person over here, because I'm not speaking to your neighbor, I'm speaking to you. And receive this message as if this is only for you and not for anybody else, so that you will be transformed and encouraged by this teaching of the Word of God. Before that, I would like to just tell you a story of four churchgoers who came together to make confessions about their sins. And as these churchgoers came together and they wanted to really say that, I want to confess my sin to one another, so that our sins to one another, so that we would be transparent between each other. So one person said that, I have a habit of smoking. So in a week, I smoke 2 or 3 cigars secretly without knowing anyone. But before you, I'm confessing my sin. Please accept my confession. And then the other churchgoer said that, I have a problem of boozing. I booze a lot, and I do that secretly, and I want to confess before you that I have a problem of boozing, drinking. And then the third person said that, I have a habit of watching late night movies. And you understand, late night movies means they're not decent movies, but indecent movies. So I have the habit of watching these indecent movies in the night, and I want to make this confession before you. And as the three people confessed, the fourth person was completely silent. He doesn't want to confess. And the three people were asking, hey, what happened? Are you a perfect saint? Why are you not confessing? We three people have confessed. And then the fourth person said that, please don't force me to confess. And he said, no, you have to confess. We all have confessed. And he said that, I have a problem of gossiping. And I can't keep silent when I hear the secrets of the hearts of the people. Please excuse me. I'll be back soon. And I think that this is a problem with many of us. Some people confess, and some people have a spiritual posture of gossiping, saying that I'm really concerned about that person. That's the reason I'm speaking. Or I want to share with you because I want you to know so that you can pray about it. Even gossip can be spiritualized, and we paint a picture of holiness, saintliness, when we discuss about the weaknesses of one another. Before that, I would like to define what gossip is, and this is my definition. And then I will bring what Jerry Bridges also says. And listen to this carefully, what gossip is. And this is my definition. According to my study and understanding of gossip, this is what I believe it is. To speak unkindly of others' weaknesses and failures in their absence. To speak unkindly of others' weaknesses and failures in their absence. And this is what Jerry Bridges describes. You can listen to him because he's a celebrity. Gossip is the spreading of unfavorable information. When he says unfavorable, it means negative, unhelpful, unbeneficial. Gossip is the spreading of unfavorable, in other words, negative information about someone else, even if that information is true. A lot of people justify gossip because what I'm speaking is truth. I'm not spreading falsity. But gossip can either be true or false, and you are spreading the negative information of someone else, especially in their absence. God Questions gives the Hebrew definition of gossip. It says that the Hebrew translated gossip in the Old Testament defines it as one who reveals secrets, one who is a talebearer, a gossip monger who spreads around telling people, do you know what happened? Do you know what that person did? Have you come to know about this? Especially, it is very much popular among women, and also men have also lost their manliness and started to follow this sin of gossip at the same time. Because I say that men should be known for courage to speak beforehand. It's women actually who are generally afraid of doing that. I'm not justifying men, I'm not justifying women, but I'm telling you that we should be very careful. And I want to show you a scripture which says that this is very much strong in the women, and men are not immune from that. But before that, as God Questions defines the Hebrew word, I would like you to read Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. It is one of the laws of the Old Testament. And this is what the law says. Although we are not under the law of Moses, this has also been repeated in the New Testament and cautions us not to follow. But let me read for you Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not go about spreading slander. In other words, gossip. Do not speak negatively about your brothers among your people. New Living Translation translates like this. Do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Don't you think this is what is happening in the churches and families, in the relatives and also in the workplace, and especially in the churches? Our own brothers and sisters, we spread gossip and slander among our own people, which should not be heard in Christian community. There are three characteristics that I want to show to you about the nature of gossip, which makes us simple to understand. Okay, so listen to this carefully. The three characteristics of the nature of the gossip, and please pay attention to that. There are three things we need to understand when we talk about the nature of gossip. The first is the intent. The intent of the gossip, by which we can really understand that this is a gossip. You know what is actually the intent of the gossiper or of the one who gossips? The intent is especially to make others look bad. That's actually intent. It is to defame the image of others. It is to disrepute the reputation of others. It is to make yourself look better and other people bad. That's one of the intents of the characteristics of gossip, to make others look bad. And the second is this, the content. The intent is to make others look bad. And what is the content of gossip? What is it? It is negativity. Not only lies, it can be truth also. But the point is that the content of the gossip is always negative. Negatively speaking about the weaknesses and sins and failures of other people. And this could be true or false. The intent is to make others bad. And also the content is negative speech. And what is the object of gossip? To whom do you gossip? What is the object of gossip? Talking negatively about others to people who have no business knowing it. That's why it is gossip. If you talk directly to the person who is a part of the problem or a solution, that would be great. But generally, the object of gossip is gossiping to a person who has no business knowing it. And you see that in every gossip, these three characteristics are very obvious. The intent is to make others look bad. The content is negativity about other people. And the object is to speak to those people who have no business knowing the information that you are speaking about. You know, when I have read Romans chapter 1, what I have seen is that, you know, Romans chapter 1 is known, famous for what? It speaks about the depravity of Gentiles. And it brings out some of the cruel, dangerous sins in Romans chapter 1, which many people see it as horrifying. And what we understand in this passage is that gossip is a sinful practice of depraved people. If you want to know that, please turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, where it speaks about how gossip is a sinful practice of unbelievers. Now, there is a list of sins mentioned, but there is one sin which is our topic today. They are full of envy, the depraved people whom God abandoned because of their hardness of heart. The Bible says they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Now, you see what it says later. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. What is one of the sins that we see here? They are gossips. They love to gossip. And almost every person who is working in your workplace, you know what I'm speaking about, right? A lot of people come and tell me that, you know, in our culture, in work culture, whether in corporate or non-corporate culture, gossip is very common. When you eat together, when you talk together, when you travel together, when something happens, they just speak about the other person. So we know that this is very strong in unbelievers. Does it mean that believers don't practice this? Believers are so nice and good and holy that they don't practice gossip at all? Turn to what Paul writes to Corinthians here. If gossip is a natural tendency of worldly people, do Christians also gossip? Many of us are evident of this. 2 Corinthians 12:20. What Paul wrote to what was happening in this community is very much seen even among Christians today and churches alike. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. What Paul is telling? Paul is telling that when I come, I will be seeing you living in deliberate sins, and you will see me very angry. I will not spare any of you. Why? That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. This was there even in the early church. And this is also there in many of you, or maybe in almost all of us who are sitting over here. The problem, the sin of gossip. Shamefully, even Christians gossip like unbelievers. Or at least Christians take delight in listening to gossips as unbelievers speak or some of the churchgoers speak to one another. You know, there is a saying like this. The saying goes like this. We all know
Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, I think, where two or three are gathered, I will be there in the midst of them. I don't know, many believers really believe that. Because the talk they talk doesn't seem Christ is present there. The talk they talk doesn't seem that they're really conscious of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. You know what is the true fact today? When two Christians are gathered, there is a devil usually present to tempt them to talk evil about the third person. That is true of many people, Christians today. When two Christians gathered, it is not Jesus there. It is always the devil present to tempt them to talk evil about the third person. Is it not true, my dear people? Is it not true? How many times have you participated in that? Do we really believe Jesus is present? If we really believe Jesus is present in our talks and fellowships, we would be afraid to gossip. But this is not true of many of us. Now let me give you reasons why people gossip. Why do you gossip? Or why do I gossip? Why do we people engage in gossip? Reasons for gossip. Why do people gossip? What is the first reason, do you think, people gossip? What is the first reason for gossiping? The problem is with the heart. Now, Christianity always strikes the core of the problem. The society says that I gossip because the other person does it. I gossip because I'm living in a culture people do that. I'm gossiping because of this reason or that reason. They always give an excuse to justify gossip. But Christian Bible says that the heart is the problem. The reason we gossip is because our heart is sinful. Our heart takes delight in gossiping. That's the reason we love to do that. And there is a scripture for this. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 to 20. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. Matthew 15, 19 to 20. And this is the sinful nature that the Lord Jesus speaks about to the people. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Now you need to understand some translations use slander and some translations use gossip. So slander and gossip are very closely related. But here we see, out of the heart comes what? Slander, gossip. You know why we gossip? It's because our heart is sinfully wretched to gossip. It is because that's our definition is. We say that, right? We are all born sinners. And because we are born sinners, we sin. In the same way, because we are born gossipers, we gossip. What's in the heart is what comes out in the mouths. And every person who gossips, what is he signaling to one another? What are they signaling to one another? Every person is gossiping. That I am a gossiper. That's what the signal comes from the people. And the second reason why people gossip. The first is that the nature, the heart is sinful and it loves to gossip. What is the second reason? And this is the most prevalent thing actually. Although the sinful nature is ignored and that's the root cause of why people gossip. But the second reason is why people love to do that. You know why? Because of personal offense. Because of personal offense. Now listen carefully. People who are hurt by others generally tend to talk about the hurt with others. People who are hurt by others generally tend to talk about their hurt with others. Until we gossip to the people who have no business knowing it, what happens generally? Our heart is desperate to talk. Our heart is wicked to talk. Our heart is longing to talk about the hurt that we have. Imagine yourself. Think about yourself. How many times when you are hurt in interpersonal relationships, how many times you went and talked to the other person who have no business knowing it? Talk about yourself. Talk about myself. And what did we feel when we spoke about the personal offense? We felt relieved sinfully. I should add the word. We feel relieved sinfully when we talk about our offense with people. Why do we talk about the hurt with others who have no business knowing it? So that they can have compassion on us. Show compassion on us. Oh, this has happened to you like this? Oh, this is what that person has done to you? That praise, that attention, that comfort. First of all, we are committing sin by talking to the people who have no business knowing it, and we expect comfort in our sin. Where does the Bible give license for us to do so? Second is personal offense. And I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, be careful when you are personally offended. Because whenever you are personally offended, your heart itches to gossip. And don't scratch it. And unless you really gossip, you don't feel sinfully relieved. So I'm cautioning you that be careful when you are personally offended. And the third reason why people gossip, you know why? Why people gossip? To idle away their time. To idle away their time. You have nothing, no business. That's why I'm telling you people, listen to this carefully. Sometimes it is not good to have too much of fellowship between yourselves. Fellowship is very good. We believe in Christian fellowship. But too much of fellowship, when there is nothing more to talk, something meaningful, you try to jump into some things to talk about, which is no business of yours to talk. And Paul talks about this in the context of young widows. But this applies to both who are married and those who are not widows, and also those who are men. And this is what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13. About such people, the Holy Bible says, about the people who gossip, especially the young widows, the Bible says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. We all know that an idle brain is devil's den, right? And even an idle talk is what? The devil's opportunity to tempt you, to lead you to talk weaknesses about other people. So what are the three reasons generally why people gossip? The first is that because of the heart problem, the sinful nature. The second is because of personal offense. This is the most prevalent reason why people gossip. And third reason is because they're idlers. They have nothing to speak about. And this I have seen among pastors. And this I have seen among believers. This I have seen among churchgoers, which is very much prevalent, gossiping about one another. But everything that we do, the Bible says that what we sow, what? What we sow, we? And there are consequences for gossip also. And let us see what are the consequences. We have seen the reasons, but let us see the consequences of gossip. The consequences are very disastrous and dangerous. And I would like you to caution about this. We may be free to gossip, but we are not free from the consequences of gossip. You know, there is a woman who went to a rabbi, and she said that there is a woman in the town who is gossiping about me, because of which my reputation was marred, disreputed, and my business is in a big problem. And what do I do about this? And she came to rabbi. And when she came to rabbi and complained about the woman, he immediately knew who that woman was. And he called the woman from the town who is actually responsible for spreading the gossip. And he spoke to her very strongly, explaining to her, talking to her about what she had done. And this woman, when she heard about the damage she had done to that woman's image, and as Rabbi spoke to her from the scripture and rebuked her for the sin she had committed, she felt so sorry about that. And then she told, "What can I do to mend this problem?" And Rabbi asked her a question, "Do you have a pillow in your house with feathers?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Yes. Now go and bring that pillow." And she was surprised that why does Rabbi want this pillow? She went back to her home and she got the pillow to Rabbi. And then Rabbi said that, "Now you tear apart that pillow and you take the feathers and you throw those feathers in every street of the town." And she did. And again she came back. And the Rabbi said, "Now go back and pick up those feathers." And the woman said that, "That's impossible. I cannot go and pick up those feathers because the wind has blown them away and they are spread everywhere and there is no way that I can pull them back and again stuff it in the pillow." And that's what Rabbi said, that that's what gossip does. The damage that it does to a person's image is so great that it is very difficult to mend it back. Now these are the consequences. The proverb speaks about gossip. Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11 verse 13. Now there are different words that are used, slander or gossip. But based on that, understand that I'm particularly speaking about gossip. Proverbs 11 verse 13. And I'm telling you people, This is a very dangerous thing. You are losing something that it takes life to build. When you gossip, listen to this carefully. You are losing something that it takes lifetime to build. And to me, if anyone does that, I lose this in that person. You know what is that? It says here in Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence. But a trustworthy man keeps a secret. What does a gossip do? It betrays the trust. When I talk to Alan about something which is very important, when he goes and gossips about it with another person, what is Alan doing to me? He is betraying me. And I will never trust him for the gossip he has done. Because gossip betrays confidence. Gossip kills the trust. And whenever people, you are gossiping about someone, know that you are proving yourself as an untrustworthy person. You are telling to the other person that, don't trust me, please. I'm a betrayer, I'm a gossiper, and I'm not a safe person of information with me. And whenever others are gossiping to you, remember that they are betraying the trust. The Bible gives a very strong warning that gossip betrays trust. People no longer trust you. You lose to be a man or a woman of trustworthiness. And this is what David confesses. And I think this is very true among many people. David says this in Psalm 41 verse 6. Let me read the New Living Translation, because without changing the meaning, the words were presented even more in simple English. David says in Psalm 41 verse 6, I'm reading from New Living Translation. He speaks about the enemies, what they do. They visit me as if they were my friends. But all the while, they gather gossip, and when they leave, they spread it everywhere. You know how hurting it is when a person behaves something before you and something else behind you? It's very, very hurting. And whenever you are talking to a person and trying to gather information, and at that time you behave so decently and nicely, aha, oho, very nicely, and then after you leave the conversation and leave the person, go to another person, do you know what that person said? I'm telling you people, very frankly, I hate to see that person in my presence. I can endure any kind of sins, maybe sexual immorality or any kind of sin that a person does it. I tolerate to stay in the presence of the person. But I'm telling you then, if anyone is something before me and something behind me, I can't tolerate that person in my presence. I just say that, please get out. I don't want to have you here because you are a hypocrite. You are something before me, speaking so nicely about me. Oh, Stephen Anna, oh, brother. And then going behind, hey, this person is like that. What stupidity, hypocrisy, wickedness is that? And how many of you have done that to one another? Very nicely spoken to one another, but when you leave, you gossip about that person and speak depravedly about that person. It's a very shameful act, and I command you in the name of Jesus, if you are like a person like this, please repent of your sin and earn the trust as a Christian. It's a shameful thing for Christians to betray trust. And you know what is the second consequence of it? Proverbs 16 verse 28. Proverbs 16 verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Do you understand what gossip does in a relationship? The Bible tells that gossip ruins relationship. Gossip ruins relationship. When you come and tell me about somebody, this person is like that, what are you doing to my mind? Do you understand that? Do you know what are you doing to my mind about that person? Till now, I'm thinking that that person is nice and good or something else. Now you are coming and poisoning my mind, poisoning my attitude, poisoning my perspective, so that the next time when I see that person, I will see him with your own perspective again. Gossip, I say, people, is a poison. It's a poisoning thing which poisons our attitude and perspective towards others. It separates close friends. How many relationships have been destroyed in this church? Some of you, you know that. Because you gossiped. It destroyed relationships. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Because gossip is spreading bitterness in one's heart to the heart of the other person. That's what it does. It separates. It poisons. So be careful. Whenever you're speaking, remember that you are putting someone's image at stake. It may be true or false, but is it necessary for you to disrepute that person's image to all people? Third, just now I told you that what I feel when people gossip, the Bible also says this is what happens. Proverbs 25 verse 23. Gossip betrays trust. Gossip ruins relationships. And the third thing the Bible speaks about in Proverbs 25 verse 23 is this. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue angry looks. In other words, gossip stirs up anger. When you know that someone is gossiping about you, brothers and sisters, what would be your look? How do you feel? Oh, I'm happy that they're passing free information about me. Do you feel happy? What happens to you? What happens to your face? What happens to your emotions? When you know that someone is gossiping about you, what happens to you? You get angry, right? And I've seen every person that I have confronted, or every person that I have met, and every person that I have experienced, when they come to know that somebody is gossiping, they get very, very angry. You, by gossiping, I, by gossiping, stirring up anger of the person about whom I am speaking. Please don't do that. And the Bible says, remove the backbiting person, you're removing the problem in your life. It's a very dangerous thing. Gossip stirs up anger. And finally, what happens? In Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Why do quarrels happen in relationships? Because people gossip. The Bible tells that gossip breeds quarrel. In other words, people, if you are a gossiper, you may not like the title actually. A lot of people gossip, but they don't like to be called gossiper. A lot of people lie, but they don't want to be called liars. We like the verbs, but we don't like the nouns. But let me tell you that what you do defines who you are. Are you understanding? What you do defines who you are. And when you are gossiping, know that you are a troublemaker. If you are a gossiper in your family, you are a troublemaker in your family. If you are a gossiper in the church, you are a troublemaker in the church. If you are a gossiper in the workplace, you are a troublemaker in the workplace. The world will be happy without you. That doesn't mean that you have to go and commit suicide. I tell you, repent. Be changed. Be transformed. Don't bring trouble wherever you go by gossiping. Be careful of that. No matter how nice a person seems, gossip shows. If you read all the scriptures here, some people say, you know, this person is very nice. He's very good. He's very passionate. But the only problem with him is he has a loose tongue. And I tell that loose tongue speaks about the entire condition of the heart according to James chapter 3. Your tongue is the sign of your maturity. Your tongue is a sign of your godliness. The tongue is the sign of your real passion. If you have no control over your tongue, you are telling that I am a loose person, a loose character person, don't trust me, and I'm not godly, I'm not mature, I'm a troublemaker in relationships. And you and I should be very, very careful, my dear people, because gossip is a sheer sign of immaturity and ungodliness. It's a sheer sign of immaturity and ungodliness. So what are the problems in gossip? What does it do? It betrays trust. Second, it ruins relationships, separates close friends. And third, it stirs up anger. Some people, you know, when we are caught up in gossip, what happens, you know, between the people? You speak about me like that. And you should see actually the relationship there rippled with anger. You blame me and there is lies and there are blames and you will see all kinds of mess over there only because they gossip. Anger. And also it breeds quarrel in relationships. So let us finally see now. We have seen the problem. We have seen the consequences. Now what do we do about that? Now quickly, let me share with you some principles from the Word of God how to deal with gossip. How do we really come out of it? And people, let me tell you, this is problem of almost all of us over here. whether pastors or whether believers or churchgoers, unbelievers, this is a problem in almost all of us. So let us make a note of these principles and be careful to practice them so that we would not fall into the trap and the pit and the mire and the sin of gossip. The third part that I would like to share is on overcoming gossip. How do we do that? The first thing is this. The first thing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Proverbs 6 verse 16. If you want to overcome that, I've told you that. The very first thing we need to understand why we gossip is because heart is wretched, sinful. And the very first thing that we also need to understand if you want to overcome gossip is this. Proverbs 6 verse 16 to 19. Now listen what it says. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. That is seven things the Lord hates. The first is what? Haughty eyes, which is pride. Second is what? A lying tongue. Third, hands that shed innocent blood. Fourth, a heart that devises wicked plans. Fifth, feet that make haste to run to evil. Sixth, a false witness who breathes out lies. And seventh, and one who sows discord among brothers. You know, discord means divisions among brothers, poisons relationships. And who is this great man and woman? The gossiper. And people, let me tell you here. Now, a lot of people say God loves the sinners, but he hates sin. Now, here you see that. It doesn't say God hates divisions. It doesn't say God hates divisions. You know what it says? He hates the one. He hates the person who sows discord among brothers, who poisons the mind of people. God hates that person. People, do you want to be a person whom God hates? I don't want to be. Oh, brother, no problem. I may commit sin, yet God loves me. Yes, he loves you. But he also hates you and he will chastise you and really disciplines you so that you would come to repentance and be changed. The greatest thing about God is that he hates us and also at the same time he loves us. He hates because of the sins we commit. He loves because he is love. And what is the first thing if you want to overcome gossip? View gossip and acknowledge it as a detestable sin in God's sight. Until you fear God, people, you will not hate sin. Because there are a lot of things that you do in secret which nobody may know if you don't fear God. If the fear of God is there, that God is watching me, God hates the sin that I commit, God hates gossip. Until you see that this is one of the most detestable sin in the eyes of God, you will not be hating it. So view gossip and acknowledge it as a detestable, hateful sin in God's eyes. He hates this. And you see that these are all related to gossip. A false witness who breathes out lies, closely related to gossip. The one who sows discord among brothers, closely related to gossip. A heart that devises wicked plans, closely related to gossip. Haughty eyes, only the arrogant people gossip. Because when they gossip, indirectly they're telling that I'm better than the other person. It's pride. So all this, most of the sins that you see here are related to gossip. Be careful, my dear brothers and sisters. Be careful, and especially I'm cautioning the sisters. Because I've seen in my Christian life, this is my observation, I've seen this a greater problem among women than men. But at the same time, men also should be cautioned. And from now on, I want to be very, very clear that there are serious consequences as a church that we want to deal if we know that there are gossiping happening among yourselves. We don't care who you are. If you don't fear God, you must fear the church discipline at least. Because this will ruin relationships and we don't want that to happen. So the first thing is that. The second is this. If you want to overcome gossip, talk your offense with the person who is responsible for it. Do you understand what I'm saying, people? Talk your offense with the person who is responsible for that offense. Why do you go and talk about your offense with person who is not responsible for that? If you really want to overcome that, the Bible says, talk to the person who is responsible for that. Jesus himself says, Matthew 18:15. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between all the people. Does it say that? Between you and him alone. Now that's a very strong word. What do you do when you're offended by another person? You go and talk to the person who is not at all responsible for that. And we justify it. We are a church as a family, right? We are discussing among the family members. Stop this nonsense. Don't try to do this wicked thing in the name of the family. Don't abuse it. Nowhere does Jesus give us permission to do that and justify it by speaking saintly words. It says very clearly, if your brother sins against you, go. Oh, brother, I'm afraid. Go. I don't know whether he will listen. Go. I don't know how he will react. Go. No excuse, people. You have to just go. Because Jesus did not just leave it there. What did he say? If he doesn't listen, take two or three people. He doesn't leave there. And if two or three people also cannot convict him of sin, he doesn't leave it there. What did he say? Bring it to the church. I hardly find people following the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 18. Hardly. Generally, they go third person. At last, they go to the person who is responsible for that and they end over there. Because, you know, there is a very great attitude. We don't want to make the issue big. Wow. How great thou art. You should have your own Bible, you know. Scratch it from the Bible. And you write your own Bible. If you have a problem with the other person and if you think how he reacts, you say that. Don't make it big and just bury the issue there. I think Jesus should learn from you. Or from us. Paul should learn from us, I think. Don't make the issue big. Actually, Jesus says, make the issue big. Because sin is so serious that if you don't make it big, people don't change. Make the issue big. If he doesn't listen, not with a heart of grudge and hatred and sinful passion, but with a real concern attitude that this brother should be gained at any cost. This brother should change and community should be in good welfare. Make the issue big. Go and talk to the person. If he doesn't listen, brother, you're not listening. The Lord Jesus says, bring two or three people. Andar mungada battabal jesava. Nen aim cheppale brother. Yesu prabhu cheppindi battabal jeyamani. Nu sakagunda akkane deal ayipothadi. If you are humble, the issue will be dealt there itself. But because you don't want to be dealt, definitely we have to expose it to few more people. Because Jesus told that. I didn't say that. I'm telling you people, if we practice what Jesus said, there will be fear and trembling when people confront us. You know why people justify a lot? Because we leave it there only. I tell about myself also. If I don't listen, go and bring Shankar and Anil and Leela. Brother Stephen, I spoke to you personally. You're not listening. I love you. I want you to change. And you're living in blatant sin. Brothers, go and speak to him. And if I don't tell, expose it to the church. That's how Stephen David can change. That's how you will change. Go and talk to the person who is responsible for that. And here is a quote. Okay, if you want to make it, you post it on the Facebook. I love it. Don't speak behind the butts if you have no guts to speak before the face. How is it? Stephen David. Are you understanding? Don't speak behind the butts. Have the guts to go and talk before the face. Men, what kind of men you are if you have no guts to speak before the face? If an offense you cannot handle, what kind of manliness is that? Why do you get scared? Jesus gave you the license, permission, go and talk to the brother, sisters. Be like men, as Paul says. Be manly, be courageous. Shame to say that a lot of men are not courageous. They're not very bold in talking to the person directly. But I'm telling you, imitate the real men and be bold. Talk to the person who is responsibility, who is responsible for that. Okay, the third way to overcome is this. And this is a very important thing. Now listen carefully. Avoid listening to gossip and rebuke the person who gossips. Now I'm telling you that this is more difficult than not gossiping actually. Because why? We don't want to hurt people. We want to have a good relationship with them. These are all very, all Natak's dramas. The other words is that you don't want to obey God's word. That's it. And we all paint a picture saying that we won't want to lose relationship. We don't want to mess up the things. We don't want to make issues big. We just want to give our ears, sacrifice our ears and keep on listening, not hurt the person. These are all dramas. The real thing is you don't want to obey God and you don't want to be rejected by people. You want to be accepted by people. You want to be appreciated by people. Because if you tell them, don't gossip before me. And if you're a bigger person, he may try to go back and gossip about you now. But the Bible says that we should be very, very careful. Turn to Proverbs 20 verse 19. Proverbs 20 verse 19. A gossip betrays the confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. In other words, avoid a man who gossips. Brother, I can't talk to you anymore because you have a problem of gossip. I had to tell one person, really, right on the face. If you come next time to my home and if you gossip, don't come to my home next time. I had to be very blunt and tell that person, go away from here if you're gossiping. That's very important. That person gets scared to really approach me and talk negative about other person because that's in the blood of the person. We have to be very, very strong. To avoid gossiping, you must learn to avoid listening to gossip and rebuke him who gossips. You know why gossipers are prospering? You know why? Because there are people who are listening actually. Because of the listeners, Jack Wellman says that gossip is not gossip without someone listening to it. So the person who listens to it is just as guilty as the one who is doing it. David, Bathsheba was as guilty as committing the sin of adultery as David was guilty of committing adultery with her. Don't you think so? David did not rape Bathsheba. He doesn't say that. He slept with her and there is high possibility and high capability where she also allowed because it doesn't say he raped her. As who did that? No, not Absalom. Tamar was raped by Ammon. As Ammon raped Tamar. It's not like that. She was as guilty as David. You are as guilty as listening to the gossip as a gossiper as a person who gossips to you. It's a very serious thing. Now here is a tip because until it benefits us, we don't want to really change, okay? Now let me tell you some cautions over here. Listen to this. He who listens to gossip will most likely gossip. And I've seen this in every person actually. The people who listens to gossip without refusing it will eventually end up practicing the same in one way or the other. And if there are very smart people that do it only with those people who really enjoy their gossips. They don't like to do that with the people who are very straightforward and tell them, don't gossip before me. Oh, you're not the right person for me. Let me choose somebody else who is like me. And the other caution is also this. Whoever gossips to you may also be a gossip of you. Sometimes I sit before when I go to buy some tiffin and all, and I see, you know, the owner gossiping about the customers if they do that. And I think over there, this fellow is gossiping to me and backbiting to me about the customer. And tomorrow he will also do that to me. So today what happened is, I went to the same shop who was gossiping, and I gave him a strong correction because the cover he was using was very poor quality. I told him that, if you do that, next time I will not come to your shop. And again, I was very nice, you know, how many children you have, what your children are doing, enjoy the conversation and all. And then as I was leaving, I was thinking, I think after I leave, this person will start backbiting about me with another person because he did that about another person before me. So what I'm telling you that, he who gossips to you will also gossip about you. And if you like it, enjoy that. Okay, now let me read what Jim Cimbala, this is one of the books I have read a couple of years back and was a great blessing. Now listen what he says over here about listening to gossip, how to deal with that. Jim Cimbala, pastor of a church in Newark, and this is what he says. About 20 years ago, I'd said something spontaneous to the new members standing in a row across the front of the church. I don't know why he actually told to the new members of the church. Because I don't find this as a problem with the new members. I find it as a problem with the old members, actually. But I think in his church, that was a problem. And now I charge you that if you ever hear another member speak on unkind word of criticism or slander against anyone, myself, an usher, a choir member, or anyone else, that you stop that person in mid-sentence and say, excuse me, who hurt you? Who ignored you? Who slighted you? Was it Pastor Cimbala? Let's go to his office right now. He'll apologize to you. And then we will pray together as God can restore peace to his body. But we won't let you talk critically about people who aren't present to defend themselves. Very straightforward, right? He's telling that if anybody comes and gossips to you, tell the person that in this church, we won't let you talk anything about any person who is not there to defend themselves. Let's go and talk to the person directly. Now, that's what I do then. and all of you know me very well, to come to me and talk about the weaknesses of other person is to get yourself into trouble, because I'm not going to live there. When people come to me and say, brother, I have something to speak to you about another person, don't tell to anyone, I say that, don't talk to me like that. I will deal with that. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not here a garbage can just listening to the gossips, listening to the, you know, all the things that people pour into. I want to be a difference maker. I want to deal with the problem. That's why in my family, in my Telugu church, and even here slowly people are coming to know that, people get afraid to come and talk to me about any other person because they know that I take a very serious action to deal with that. And I say that we should be like that. We should be like that and not take the problem of gossip just like that. Jonathan Lehman, he says that if a member of the church is given to gossip or slander, another member should correct the sin so that the gossiper will stop gossiping and speak words of love instead. Do you do that? Do you do that? How many of you known for that? Brother, come on, tell me that. Who is the person who rebuked you for gossiping? Sister, come on, tell me. Who is the person who rebuked you for gossiping? I think many of you don't have such testimonies, right? A lot of us enjoyed the gossip of one another. Don't listen to gossips. If you want to really deal with that, if you don't want to gossip, you should not even listen to it. Rebuke it with love, gentleness. Tell that, don't do that before me. Okay? The fourth one. The fourth one is this. Follow the golden rule. What is the first one? See it as a detestable sin in the sight of God. What is the second? Go and talk to the person directly. Don't speak behind the butts. What is the third? Avoid listening to gossip. Say no. Again, I'm telling you, don't be a garbage. Do you want to be called a garbage can? Hey, garbage can is here. Oh, what does he do? He loves to listen to gossips. You want to be that? Please don't. I hate to be a garbage can. The fourth is this. Follow the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Matthew 7:12. What is the golden rule? So whatever you wish that others would do unto you, do also to them. If you put on the opposite side, how do you put it? Whatever you do not wish others to do unto you, do not do that against them. Now let me ask you, how many of you like to be gossiped? How many of you? Brother, I love others speaking negatively about me. Any person here? Backbiting against you? You don't like, right? How dare you do that about others? How dare? How crooked you are. How wicked your heart is. That you don't want to be gossiped and you gossip about others. If you say, I hate it, I don't want others, and if I know that somebody is speaking evil against me, you will not sleep. Do you know that? And you roar on the bed by speaking evil about others. And you can't sleep when somebody speaks evil against you. How selfish, wicked we are, people. Follow the golden rule. If you don't want to be gossip, don't gossip about others. That's one of the best ways to deal with that. Will Rogers, he made a very humorous statement. He said that the only time people don't like gossip is when the gossip is about them. The only time people don't like gossip is when the gossip is about them. The fifth thing, okay? Now, in this church, some of you have gone through that, and some of you may go through that in the future, but if you really want to change, even sin of gossip is not unpardonable sin. Are you understanding that? It's not a sin which is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It can be forgiven, but you need some pain in that. And the Bible tells it very clearly also. You know what is the fifth thing? The fourth is that follow the golden rule. Fifth is if you really want to change, because some of us don't change easily. You know that? You know that? We don't change easily. If you tell them, Amma, Aya, please don't do that. Ni Amma, ni Aya will say that later. That's how some people are. You know what is required? Accept church discipline. And God chastises people to change. And if some of us are very stubborn to follow the tendency of gossip, God has given us a way for that also. Church discipline. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Again, see that slanderer, gossip can be linked together. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I am writing to you. Now you think, people, in the sight of God, in the sight of Paul, in the sight of the holy angels, how dangerous this sin is. What is the consequence, you know, for such people? You know, the Bible says, but now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone, no fellowship with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer. In ESV, it says reviler. In NIV, it says slanderer. And gossip is a part of it, slandering. A drunkard or swindler, do not even eat with such people. My goodness, what is this? Hey man, I can't eat with you anymore. Because you are a man engrossed in gossip. Oh, God loves you. Oh, God himself says that. Don't eat with such people also. Now, I don't say that this is immediate. First a personal confrontation, and then a group confrontation. And then if a person doesn't listen personally, and then when a group speaks when he doesn't listen personally, then he should be excommunicated from the church. So that this person would change. We need to tell before all the people that Vijay is a gossiper if he gossips. And he will come and say, how dare you defame me? How dare you defame others, fellow? And you come and tell me how dare you defame you? I spoke about you to you and before the church. How dare you backbite about others? And you are so keen on defaming others, but you don't want to be defamed. We are not defaming. We are telling that this is what the sin this brother is living, and he should repent and change. And we are willing to forgive the person if they confess and repent of their sin. People, now listen carefully. This is a hard discipline some of you may have to go through if you gossip in this church. We don't tolerate that gossip. Are you understanding? It doesn't mean that we hate you, we don't want you, we want to remove you. No, we want you to change and be a healthy church member, not a disease in the healthiness of the church. And gossip is a disease to a healthy church. And don't spoil it, please. I beg you. Christ is building his church. The leaders are building his church. Don't try to bring trouble in this church by gossiping about others in this church. Follow the guidelines of the Bible. We don't spare people. We want people to repent and change. And the sixth one is this. The sixth one in dealing with gossip. The last two, and then we'll close. Fear the judgment of God. Fear God's judgment, people. There are a lot of churches who don't discipline those who really gossip. But they don't escape the judgment of God. Some people say, brother, this is not there in other churches. No problem. The time is coming. The Bible says this. Now listen carefully. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36 and 37. Listen what Jesus says. He spoke in a different context, but also everything is accountable. And even 2 Corinthians 5:10 also says that when we die, we have to give an account to Christ, who is on the judgment seat, about what we had done while we lived in this body, whether good or bad. But listen especially 36 and 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And what is gossip? It's a reckless speech. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. People, we should fear the judgment of God. Nobody may know that. Nobody may deal with you. Nobody may confront you. God is going to deal. You're not going to escape God's judgment. So that fear should be there. Oh Lord, tomorrow I'm going to be judged by you. How can I engage myself in gossip? I don't want to be judged by you. And one of the judgments we have also seen in the Lord's Supper. What is one of the judgments? In 1 Corinthians 11, some people sick, some people, they would lay patient. Some people died. Don't know how many people die because of gossip. I don't know how many people suffer from sickness because of gossip. Some of you may even die because of gossip. Don't know. God's judgment is very serious. You don't know. Let's fear God's judgment. Last, seventh one. And this is one of the major reasons why I love not to gossip. Because this is my favorite verse in the Bible. One of the favorite verses. You know what? Matthew 5 verse 9. And this is what I want to be in every relationship. Matthew 5 verse 9. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You know, what is the sign of a, what is the evidence of sons of God, daughters of God? What is the evidence? They are peacemakers. The seventh thing that I want to tell you is determined to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. In the church, in the workplace. And don't think that, you know, this is only in the church. Outside of the church, you can do whatever you can. No, applies to every aspect of your Christian life. Determined to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. The one who gossips is what? He's a He's a troublemaker, not a peacemaker. And the Bible says that if you really want to be a peacemaker, avoid gossiping. Lord, I don't want to gossip because I am your son. You know what is your identity, people? What is your identity as Christians? We are sons of God. We are daughters of God. Do you know what does it mean? To be a son of God means is to be a peacemaker, which means not to gossip. To be a daughter of God means to be a peacemaker, which means not to gossip. Why do you live against your identity? Ephesians 4:29. Shall we turn it? And I encourage you to memorize this. I think this is one of the most important scriptures because of loose tongue. A lot of people hurt one another, speak something which is not good. Ephesians 4:29 is a good exhortation for us. And this is one thing we should always put before us when we speak. You know what does it say? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What does it say? Now listen carefully. But only such as good for building up. Whom do you build by gossiping? Does gossip build others? No. It says that do not participate in corrupting speech, but speak only according to the time that which builds others, that it may give grace. In grace, in other words, means that it may benefit those who listen, that others may be encouraged by what you speak. Alan Redpath is a very good Christian writer, and this is what he said. He gave an acronym of THINK. How many of you know that? THINK. Do you know the acronym of THINK? This is very easy for us to remember. Now listen carefully. Very easy. And put before this whenever you want to talk or tempted to talk about another person. The first thing it says is T in THINK. T stands for true. So you ask this question, is it true what you are speaking? Is it really true? Is it your own assumption? One person came to me and said that, brother, this is what I think about that person. I tell that, how did you come to this conclusion? How did you come? Do you think you are God who knows the hearts of people? Who can just peep into the hearts? Oh, I know why you are doing this. This is your heart condition. How dare you do that? I had to correct that person and tell that, don't do this. Don't try to play God. You don't know what's happening in the heart. Until and unless the actions are very clear, you have no right. Assumptions should be careful. Hearsay. Oh, I heard somebody. One person was telling me, you know, about a pastor's wife telling that, oh, that woman is like that. I told him that, who told you? And he said, somebody told me. Did you verify? You know what you are doing? You are corrupting, poisoning my perspective towards that woman. When I see that woman again, how do I look at her? Because of what you said. I gave him a rebuke. Don't do that. Hearsay and assumptions, these are very dangerous. Verify it. How did you come to this conclusion? Do you have facts about it? Is it true? The first one is true. And what is the second one? H. H is the question, is it helpful? Is it really helpful to the person who is listening? Do you betray trust when you are speaking like this? Are you disreputing someone's image? Is it really helpful? Think, my dear people, think. Don't think you are spirit-led. A lot of people are evil spirit-led when they gossip. Spontaneously just, they speak about that. Think about, is it true? Think about, is it really helpful? And what is the third one? I. What is I? Is it inspiring? Is it encouraging to the person who is listening? How are you encouraging the person by talking negatively about the other person? How? He said, brother, thank you so much for gossiping. I'm so encouraged today. I never heard people saying that. Are you an inspiring person? Christians should be inspirational. Christians should be encouraging people. Are you encouraging and inspiring to others who are listening? What is the fourth one? T stands for true. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? And what is the last two? N. Now, this is very important. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Why do you want to speak what you want to speak? Is it really necessary for you to open your mouth now? Is it necessary for the other person to listen what you are speaking? If it is unnecessary, shut your mouths. And what is the last one, K? Is it kind? Did you pray about that? Are you talking with care and love? A lot of people who gossip, there is no love and care. Are we really trying to be kind towards the other person? So quickly, what is the thing? Never forget, people. It's very easy for us to remember. What is that? Is it true? Second. Is it helpful? Third. Is it inspiring? Fourth. Is it necessary? Fifth. Use this in your workplace also, people. in your corporate world also. Don't mind hurting people. Hurt for good. Practice this in your family. Practice this in your workplace. Practice this especially in the context of the church. And finally, I want to end with this, the gospel. And I think that gospel should really motivate us, encourage us not to gossip. You know, when Jesus looked on you, immersed in sin, what did he do? Did he go and gossip about you? Hey, you see Stephen David? A guy of slum, a guy immersed in sin, immoral person. Did he go and expose the secrets of other people? Talking to other people, this is what that person is. Gossiping among the Trinity, gossiping among the angels, gossiping and revealing how wicked you are to the other person. What did he do? He became a man. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He paid the price for our sins. Because of the sins we commit, he did something about us. He did not just ignore it or spoke about that. And I say, my dear people, we need to put the gospel before us. We need to imitate Christ in us. Whenever we see a person in sin, we need to imitate Christ. I want to be like Christ, because when he saw sin, he was different and he made a difference in the person. I need to also be a difference maker. I need to also be different. I should be the light of the world and salt of the world, because Jesus was the light of the world. When he saw sin, he did something about that. He did not just made it worse or ignore it. Gospel should really help us not to be gossipers, but imitate Christ to be different and to make a difference. Yeah, we should gossip the gospel. But also people are there who gossip the gospel and then later gossip also. They are evangelists and also gossip mongers. Both a problem. Let's stand together and pray. And people, I'm telling you, not a day goes by, I think, where you will not be tempted to gossip or to listen to gossip. Not a day goes by. So let's resolve today, Lord, I want to be a real Christian. I want to really imitate the gospel. I want to put your standards before me. I want to put yourself before me. I don't want to gossip. And all of us, let's confess, people, if one way or the other, I have done that a lot of times. I'm not telling you as a perfect preacher. As a preacher and a pastor, I did it. Shame on me. But I did it sin. And I have been rebuked by the Lord, cautioned by the word of God. It's a sin in which no one can say that I have never gossiped. Let's repent, people, and say that, Lord, you forgive my sin. Forgive my sin of gossip. Cleanse me by the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of my sins. And you have given Christ as a role model of what he has done for my sins. May I do also for the sins of others. Not putting them down and disrupting their image, speaking ill of them. No, may I do something about that. Speak to the person. Pray for that person. See that the person would repent and change. May I make a difference. And not be a troublemaker, but be a peacemaker. Lord, you forgive the sin of the church here, the sin of gossip, which could be a curse upon us, which could be an obstacle in our Christian growth and maturity and growth and multiplication. And we pray that you please to wipe away this sin, cleanse us from all this sin. And we pray that you please to sanctify us by the Holy Spirit and put your fear in our hearts not to gossip. We have learned so much, O God. Now let us not go back. And like a dog that returns to its own vomit, let us not go back and again immerse in gossip. May we know who we are, that we are the children of God and we are called to be peacemakers. May we know who you are, that you loved us, knowing we have sinned against you and you died for us and you rose from the dead. Help us to imitate you, O God. Help us to be like Christ. Forgive us, change us, help us, and use us for your glory. In the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid david@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.